Roger Gerstmann again from the Gerstmann Group. And today I have another special guest. His name is Bradley Bruce, and he runs the firm called M-Force. And we're here to learn his story a little bit about his history in the business at Merrill and why he started an RIA, and really interested to hear his thoughts and observations. And so with that, I'd like to introduce Bradley Bruce.
You too.
Excellent. So, your background. 30 years at Merrill Lynch.
33 years, just shy, about 15 days. Yeah.
That's an impressive, right? To be at one firm for that long, it's really impressive, right? We've seen a lot of changes over the years with the firm, and so tell me a little bit about your practice there, and how you built your practice, and just a little bit about your career there.
Oh, you bet, Roger. I moved into Fort Worth from a small town in Arkansas after I graduated from the University of Arkansas. And, graduated in spring of 88 after, a lot of people were being laid off after the crash of 87. And Texas was the first generous state to take a hold and say, welcome me. And so I moved into town, no friends, no money, and bad shoes. And Fort Worth is a great place to build a career.
30 years here. You saw a lot of changes through the years. And how did you build your business there?
Well, I was your typical cold call cowboy. We spent hours and hours every day hitting the phones, just calling off, the phone book, basically. And, just happened to get lucky in my 6 month in the business where I called a big business and the business didn't want it, but the owner absolutely had a pension he was trying to unfold, and the rest is history. After that was kind of a make or break account, and so I built it from there and really started the idea that I didn't really know what people wanted, but I knew most people had problems and I was a solution finder, and that's how I built it, just $1 at a time.
Really, really neat. And so did you built a, over the years, you built a team, right? What was your kind of value proposition, if you will?
Well, I never really built a team. I had support staff and had different alliances, but I never really had a formal partnership. Tried a few times, but just never could get there. Really, the value add was, I was a good listener, and, I could figure out different ways to solve problems. And back in those days, Merrill Lynch was a great brand, and people would pick up the phone and listen to you and at least talk to you. And it was a very creative place to work in. It almost felt like you were in a partnership with the firm back then. And I really flourished under that, and it rewarded you for getting things done. And that's the atmosphere I grew up in.
That's really neat. Yeah, we have seen some changes there. And so did that influence your decision, or what influenced your decision to then take the business? That's a long time to be there, to then go independent. And so you started to think about a change, right? A different platform. And what struck you about the independent market? And tell us about your journey to identifying a partner, a platform, and actually make the change.
Well, I was in management for about half the time of my career, which means I was running my book of business and taking care of a smaller office. And I really liked that business part of running the business part of it. I was good at it. We took a very unperforming, non-compliant office and turned it into a very high-performing, compliant office with really good people in it. So I enjoyed that part of the business. The other side of it is that, I was in recruiting other people to the firm, so I got to know the other platforms very well. All the big wirehouses, I could probably quote their platforms as good as I could mine. And so I knew that very well. The reason I was good at it. We took a very unperforming, non-compliant office and turn it into a very high-performing compliant office with really good people in it. So I enjoyed that part of the business. The other side of it is that, you know, I was in recruiting other people to the firm, so I got to know the other platforms very well. You know, all the big wirehouses, I could probably quote their platforms as good as I could mine. And so I knew that very well. The regionals, I knew that pretty well. I would pride myself as when I had some of my FAs coming to me and asking me about, you know, different platforms because they were getting recruited, and I could tell you the pros and cons of them. And at the end of the day, I was a good steward of my income, and I really didn't need the big check, and I wanted to build something. And so long story short is that's where the independent route really kind of struck a nerve with me, something I could build.
And so you looked at various platforms and partners, and tell us about a little bit about that journey, and how long did it take? When did you kind of really get serious about considering independence, and what was your journey there?
Understand the market about who I was competing with as a manager, but at the same time is I had to have an understanding about where my career had to go at some point. And so I looked at all different types from, you know, the big wirehouses to the regionals to the new regionals like the Rockefellers and I looked at the Focuses and Dynasty and Sanctuary and all the ones smaller that you never heard of. I probably had 50 meetings or so. And at the end of the day, I decided the RIA business was the way I was going to go and just do it on my own. But COVID hit, I pulled the parachute on it, rethought about it, went back to Sanctuary. They spoke my language and we came up with a unique deal. And that's where I went with.
Really neat. Really neat. So M-Force, it actually strikes a, you know, it's a really interesting name. I mean, it's catching actually. So how'd they come up with that?
Well, I have a handful of very wealthy clients that were talking to me about being starting a family office for them. And of course, you know, their family office at their size wouldn't quite give me the income that I needed. So I started thinking about multifamily offices. And that's where the M-Force comes from. It's multifamily office, relationship, and client experience. Those are the three. That's the acronym that our company is founded on and how we came up with the name. We use M-Force Capital because I just didn't like the word wealth management because it's more than that.
It's a neat name, by the way. So really neat. So you've got quite a lot of designations, you know, particularly in like to strike on the SEMA license, right? Institutional consulting. How is institutional consulting transported or moved from, say, you know, a big platform like Merrill to, you know, being independent? And how's that work?
Yeah, so several of those. SEMA was my first one. It's my ticket into the, you know, the big pension and institutional endowment arena. You know, it gives me the opportunity to judge managers and to write investment policy and things of that nature. I won't talk about prior to me leaving, because there's so much being written about, you know, the firm strategy and how it rubs some people wrong. I just won't go there. All I can tell you, since I have left, when I walked out of that office at 9 a.m. on that Friday morning, I was pretty successful as a business advisor. And then I walked away with nothing. I didn't take any capital from anyone. I funded it all on mine, and I really walked away independent. And I thought I was walking away from a lot of my institutional business. One of my biggest surprises was that when I got around to talking to those CFOs about that business, I assumed I was leaving them, and those CFOs asked me if they could continue to work with me. And I had to figure out how, and I was able to do that. The other side of what really surprised me is that how many new people wanted to do business with me that didn't before because of the platform I was on. I always thought that the brand is why that people were doing business with me. I knew I was good and we serviced well, but I was really surprised about the new relationships that sought me out once I left that brand.
That's really neat. The platform, right? And the support of the back office administration, technology and infrastructure of Sanctuary to deliver the service that you want. Talk a little bit about that.
Recreate themselves. You know, there's an article recently about somebody was talking about the advisors being institutionalized, and I was institutionalized. I thought everything I've done for the last 33 years had to be done that way, and so did my team. But a wise friend of mine who left Merrill about 2 years before I did, he gave me the best piece of advice anybody ever said. And I, you know, you can edit this, but he basically said your team and yourself are going to have to puke up Merrill for 6 months and figure out the new language. And, you know, instead of being problem solvers, we were problem solvers at the last brand, we were actually turned into solution finders. And that, until we really got that out of that notion of being how things always, we always did things a certain way, we could create how we wanted to do our way. And then all of a sudden we just flourished. But it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I was your typical institutionalized FA.
So talk about the advantages or and how you, the tax advantages, right? So as an employee and an owner of a business, right? The differences in mentality, but also the differences of, you know, of taxation, right? Like the uh-huh. net operating income is just astounding. And being an employee, you know, they're always looking to take away more and more and more from you, more deferred comp. And so if you talk a little bit about that, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, you know, you know, the firms have got you handcuffed, and there's, you know, the more successful you are, the more they deeply entrench you. And you got to get over that fact that you're going to walk away from a what feels like a very big number. But once you get through that transition, and you know the tax benefits, I'm not going to give CPA advice here, but it is beautiful. Things that, you know, you thought you were handcuffed before in the past about your, you know, what you could write off and what you couldn't, is totally, you know, I'm the new CEO, and I get all the perks of the CEO, like the banks and the big wirehouse companies get. I get those perks now. And so long story short is, you know, depends on how deep and creative you want to get. But now the best thing about all that is I truly understand what my business owners are going through. And I can help them at a deeper level than I ever could, because I understand it. I live it. And that's been the biggest beneficial part to me.
Identically to what you're doing at Merrill, right? You're managing people's wealth. You're diversifying their assets. You're counseling as you had before, but the differences of how you counsel at Merrill and the limitations to the platform being a captive platform. to what you now have to deliver to your clients. Tell us a little bit about the differences of platform and delivery of services. You touched on it a little bit. If you could go further, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you know, just talking about the consulting to business owners is I do more than just stock, bonds, and cash now. You know, in prior to life, it was called selling away. This life is called advising. And so the limitations you spoke of are off. I mean, we're all under the same compliance. FINRA and SEC are still who we answer to. But you know, dumbing it down to the lowest denominator is no longer the case, because I am the lowest or the highest denominator. And so it is a freedom, not only for me, but to help my clients the way they need to be. My advisory at this point, you know, we look at outside deals. We look at, you know, different things that clients come to us for is help our alliances. I mean, I've got alliances with other advisors, M&A advisors, banking advisors, institutional advisors, retirement specialists, long-term care specialists that has nothing to do with me, but I can partner to bring in the specialists when I need. We're working with insurance specialists who are on the same page. I get to sit on my side of the table, just like I do money managers. I get to sit on the same side of the table with my clients, and we get to work with them. So it just broadens up your overall practice.
You and I have been both in the business a long time. And I have to say, the business used to be years ago really fun. And I have to say, Brad, you look like you're having fun and really enjoying what you're doing. Whereas if we talk to other advisors at, you know, other firms, and, you know, there's not knock on Merrill, but just all over the place, right? Rarely can you talk to an advisor who is incredibly happy like you are. It's really just an interesting, different temperament. I just, you know, had to say that.
We always dreamt of doing, but now we get to do them, and clients are the benefit.
Super neat. Talk a little bit about the opportunity, right? At Merrill and all firms, right? See, joining CDP or the amount of advisors that are retiring, you know, is extraordinary, right? But now you are the house and acquiring other practices and building up your practice that way. I mean, it just must be super exciting to look at or have advisors come to you and look to join you or reach out to other advisors and merge and acquire. It seems quite early. It sounds like you're taking advantage of the opportunity.
The CTP program or the other, you know, I forget what they're called at UBS and the other brands, but they're better than what they were, you know, 15 years ago when you just had to walk away from your book or you had to transfer. But when I went through the process to really analyze it, because, you know, quite frankly, at some point I'll be looking at that myself too. It was just a giveaway of your value. You know, what you're being offered. Even if you go and take a check and go to another wirehouse from a wirehouse, your valuation is peanuts compared to what it is in the independent world. Yes, you have to take a risk. Yes, you have to transfer a book, but you have to do that anyway. So if you're going to do it, you might as well do it for the valuation purpose. And quite frankly, you know, I don't know what it'll look like in 10 years or what it'll look like in 10 minutes, what the multiples will be. But they'll always be better than what it is in a wirehouse-to-wirehouse transfer.
Certainly after tax and long-term capital gains versus ordinary income, right? And not a long-term contract and a way to not only bring out other advisors to retire at your shop or yourself to retire or bring in the kids to, you know, into the business as well. And who knows if that's in your plans.
Yep. That's the difference.
Yeah. Right. That's really neat. Well, look, Brad, really greatly appreciate you taking the time today. I mean, it was really enlightening to hear your story. I take this, it's a compliment, right? You just seem genuinely happy and thrilled, enjoying what you do and looking at the opportunities that seem to be quite endless for you. So congratulations to taking that incredible move, right? At the firm for 33 years, starting your own, and now taking advantage of the opportunities for the next who knows how many years, for the benefit not only of yourself, but certainly seems like the benefit of your clients.
Roger, I appreciate that. The only there's regrets every time you turn around, but the only real regret you have is I didn't do it 20 years ago. And everybody says that, and I always tongue in cheek, but you look at it and go, geez, I wish I had a longer runway. But yeah.
Really neat. Well, thank you so much for your time and greatly appreciate it. And best of luck.
Thank you, Roger.